You're listening to a session of Come Celebrate, hosted by the Bay Christian Family Church.
You know what I'm going to speak to, before I introduce my message, I'm going to introduce with a small little story so that you can know where I'm going to, you know, in this message. You know, what happened several years ago, it was about 7 years ago, with this guy in our ministry that we really loved very much. He was a young guy, I think he's about maybe 28-ish, maybe 30, I don't know his age, but he was very involved in the ministry. Everybody loved him. He was very involved in the ministry. So one Sunday, it came to pass that he went to the other side of Durban, you know, for a meeting with some friends. When he was there, standing next to one of these highways, he was knocked down by a car, and then he hit his head on the tire and cracked his head open, and he died immediately. When he died immediately, because we loved him so much, he was going to be one of the youth pastors, he was going to be involved in a whole lot of areas, and he was really instrumental to the ministry. A lot of the people in the church loved him. Then a couple of ladies, about six of them or so, they came to me the following day and they said, "Pastor, we've been praying, and the Lord said to us that we love this guy so much, we can raise him from the dead." So now, I took my scriptures, I went and looked. Jesus, you know, raised Lazarus from the dead. I went and I looked at Peter. Dorcas came forth from the dead. I looked at a whole lot of scriptures to do with raising people from the dead. I went into my quiet room. I was praying. And according to me, I believed I had God. Anyways, I believed I had faith. I had my scriptures. I had my confessions. How many of you know that when you've got your scriptures and you've got your confessions, you are ready to go? Be careful if you think you know. Amen. Be careful when you think you know. So anyways, we went there, we got to this place, and this is a government facility, you know, where it's all accident-ridden dead bodies in this place. So when you go to this, to the, you know, the waiting area, the first, when you arrive there, there's this stench of dead bodies in that place because the fridges are not working properly. As we arrived there, I still had my Bible on one hand, I was confessing. And I said to the guy that was over the counter, "Please allow us in," because they're not allowed to get public in there because of all the, you know, there could be issues, so they're not allowed. So the ladies there begged him. And I said to him, "Listen, if you don't allow us in here, this guy won't rise. We've got a job to do here. I'm a pastor, I'm running a church, I've got the word of God." Anyway, we went into the facility. We walked through this corridor, and you can hear bags moving. Some of you scared folk don't go there, because when you move through that little alley, those people are so, you know, broken up from accident that the bags are still moving inside. It's like, you know, it's like somebody's about to wake up. You scared in that place. But anyway, I had my scripture, so we got to the end of the room. And let me tell you, black people are scared of dead people. I've never seen black people. They are scared of a dead person. Snakes and dead people. I don't know. Anyway, they are scared of those two. So we went to the back, and we got to the back of the room. And this big guy that works there brought this body in a body bag. It was like this transparent body bag, and he slapped it on this concrete slab. And he opened up the zip. And there lay that young man in there. There was blood collected in that bag. He lay lifeless in that bag. And that place where we're in was like it was some function room, but where they would put the bodies first and clean them up. That place was freezing where we were. And then we said, you know, Peter told the people, even Jesus, "Get out of the room." So I got the people out of the room, and the church folk were all around us. They came with some church folk that was with us, and we began to pray. So I went to the body, and I say, "Arise." I spoke to the body. Nothing. I say, "Arise," in Jesus' name. Nothing happened. I said to the ladies, "We need to pray more. Pray in the Spirit. You know, I'm feeling something." So the ladies began to pray in the Spirit. They prayed. And then, so what happened is that now, so at the end of it all, I thought about Smith Wigglesworth, because I had some stories about him. You know, how he took the, you know, so I said, "I'm going to get this guy by the collar, and I'm going to bang him." Went to the collar. Guy was heavy. I couldn't lift him, so I left him. Then I did this. Nothing happened. Then I had a knock on the door. Thank God it was a guy that worked there. It was not one of the dead bodies, so the guy on the one. He knocked on the door and he said, "Excuse me, sir. Pastor, we appreciate you, respect you, but you have to leave. We're not allowed people in here. We told you, give you only 5 minutes. I left that place and I went home. That was 7 years ago. I got home and I was literally depressed. I said, "Father, I had the faith. I had your word. I spoke to the body like you said in your word, but nothing happened. What is the problem? This brings me to my message, the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Jesus said in the book of Matthew 11:22, in the morning they passed by the fig tree that Jesus spoke to, and it was completely withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to him, "Teacher, look, that fig tree you cursed is now shriveled up and dead." I'm reading from the TPT because it's really the TPT that puts it across the way it should be put across. Jesus replied, "Let the faith of God be in you." He did not say have faith in God. He said, "Let the same faith that God has be in you." When you read from the Greek, it says, have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith. Not just faith in God, because everybody sitting in here has got faith in God. So this was so instrumental because the Lord began to speak to me. He said, if you are going to take over territory, if you're going to do what I've called you to do, you're going to have to learn my kind of faith. Because what we are doing in Amanzim Trade is a very small area, and the land there is very, very costly. We are busy talking to somebody. The land we want is very, very, you know, I don't want to say it now because at the beginning of stages, it's about 44 million rand. Now, to get it 44 million rand for land, you better hear God to negotiate at that level. Because malls are trying, people are trying, but you need to have a word from God to do these things. So now, when this body didn't rise, I was got very, very, very disappointed. In fact, I felt so bad, and I'm joking about it, but that time I wasn't. I was very, very broken because I felt like the guys that work here would never even trust God because of me. I've messed up these people. I shouldn't even the people that went with me, some of the ladies turned around and they said, "We told you, Pastor Wellington has got no power. He's not like one of the prophets. He's got no power." And they said horrible things. Some of them left, you see. And they said horrible things, and it was not their fault. It was my fault. You can't blame somebody else for your deafness. You see, I'm not the one who had heard God. So the Lord said to me, we did an altar call at the church, and I looked and I saw a whole lot of people come to the front of the altar. It was a financial sow seed, and all people so came. And there were so many, and we did an altar call for healing and an altar call for finances. On this side, there were hundreds of people at church for finances. On this side, there was two people for healing. So now, there are so many people in this room and in other rooms and watching me right now. And I want to tell you, if you're watching me, you better be in the room because I got my wife here. Lisa is sitting here. When you come to the Bay, you also get a wife. This is a good place to get wives from. Amen. Amen. Beautiful wife you get in this place. Hallelujah. It's anointed for wives. Hallelujah. So now, the Lord began to say, these people standing on this side, my people, even though they speak blessed, they say they are blessed, they talk about it, but many wake up on a Monday, on a Tuesday, and they're struggling to pay bills, struggling to make ends meet. And he says, the reason why this year, 2024, the Lord said to me, my people are going to have to learn to wait on me prayerfully so they are able to receive the kind of faith that is able to propel them higher than where the world system is at. So this is how the Lord spoke to me. I'm going to go to my slide. There are two kinds of God's word. Two kinds of God's word. Now, there's one word in the Bible, but there are two kinds of the same word. Number one, the Lord said to me, there's what I call the passive word of God, which is logos, which is the knowledge-giving word. It's the knowledge you take it like I did when I went to raise that guy from the dead. I took my Bible. I had knowledge that God can raise the dead. I had knowledge, but I did not have the second kind of word, which is the active word or rhema. Rhema is the word that gives faith to my heart so that I can go and act on the logos that I know. Now, this is how the Lord explained to me. I've got some money in my pocket. I'm going to give away money today in this meeting. I am about to give money away in this meeting. How many of you would like money you didn't have to work for? Come, let's see. I'm giving you money away in the meeting. Amen. Wow. Somebody's going to get money in the meeting today. Amen. How many of you are happy that you are getting money in the meeting? No, why are you lifting up your hand? You see, you cannot be happy for it because I didn't tell you that you're going to get the money. I'm giving you knowledge about giving money in a meeting. But I did not give a specific word to a person for the money. So if you run with passive without having active, see, it's not a formula. You can't just have confession, confession, confession without waiting on the one that activates the word in your heart so you know when to do what. It's very important. You will struggle, you will battle, your life will have struggles. You will not know where is God. You will be praying, but unless you are waiting and hearing rhema. Now, when you go to your word in Romans 10, 17, it says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. That word for word is the Greek word rhema. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing rhema Christos, or rhema of God. So faith is coming when I am ministering to you, but what you hear when I minister is what brings you faith. I can say here, I'm giving 100 rand, everybody is happy. That's what we've been doing, God. God says, you are blessed, so we run with that before waiting on the Holy Ghost who's able to speak to us and dish rhema to me, so when I go, it has to happen. Jesus said, I do nothing, nothing, zero, without my Father saying it to me, nothing. If Jesus can do nothing, what about Wellington? So I have to use the same method Jesus used. Now, the Bible says mustard seed faith will do miracles, but it has to be the right faith. So I said to you, I'm going to give you money here. So everybody else thinks they've got faith. So everybody wants it. How many of you really want this money? You see, really wanting it won't get it to you. It won't get it to you. I'm going to give someone mustard seed faith right now. Right now. Pastor Sam. Come. The reason why he's getting this money is because he had an active word from me. So now he can get the money without having to work hard for it. It looks like a miracle, but the miracle happens because I said something to him. You see, unless I am hearing, I am praising and shouting, but never apprehending, because I'm shouting for what I've not even been told that I can get. Is this too hard for you guys, or must I go to it? Because it's a household of faith. So now I gave Pastor Sam this 100 rand. Pastor Sam, go buy something. I don't know what you eat here. Biryani or whatever. I don't know what you eat here in Cape Town. Or bunny chow. Okay. Come get this 100 rand. Come. No, ma'am. I didn't call your name. I didn't call your name. You are trying to run on her testimony. I have to mention your name. You see, rhema is a specific word to a specific person at a specific time, like the word said to mom, start the church here. You can have all the money in the world. You can be a multimillionaire. You can plant a church. If it's not rhema, that church will fail in the first month. Why? Because it doesn't grow by money. It grows by being told that mustard seed faith. Come, you can walk on it. Why? Because Peter heard Jesus say so. So now this year, when we're going to build on the rock, we're going to have to build on the word Christ speaks into our spirits so that we're able to activate that and go with it. Listen to what the TPT says in Romans 10, 7. Faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. Anointed utterance. Somebody whisper something in my... It's an inward witness, you see? Inward knowing. So that is a key to apprehending. Now, all right. There are two kinds of God's word. I explained to you what they are. Same word, but you have to understand which one to go with. Then there are two kinds of faith. There's human faith based on experience, and then there's God faith, which is quickened by the Holy Ghost. Human faith is experience because Pastor Wellington went to, you hear testimonies all the time. You know, Pastor Wellington went, Apostle, you know, Dr. Alan Begg and Pastor Jenny Begg came to Somerset West, they started a church. That's a testimony. Somebody, a Bible school student is sitting in here, thinks, okay, well, you know, they started a church and they went, they had nothing, they had no money, they went anywhere. So you packed your bags, you went anywhere based on a testimony. You are going on human faith because it's experience. You have seen others do it, and you have not waited for your own faith so that you can apprehend. You are going on somebody else's testimony. Family, each one of us here has to have quality time with God. We have to spend hours in prayer, waiting on the Lord, reading our word, not playing games, working with God and fellowshipping with the Holy Ghost and getting to know the Holy Spirit. We have to know him. The Bible says that when the Spirit of truth comes, it said the world doesn't know him, but you will know him. That word know is not just like, you know, to say, oh, I know Tambombeki or I know Ramaphosa. It's not that knowing. Is that know is the past tense of that word know is new. If you read the Bible in the book of Genesis, the Bible says then Adam knew his wife. That's the person of that word, no. He knew his wife and they had a child called Seth. The knowing of the Holy Ghost, when you know him, is an intimate knowing that produces babies. You manifest cars, houses, buildings, lands, healings. You are manifesting it by knowing him intimately. It's not just I know you. So this is the year to know the Holy Ghost intimately. So when we come to church, we're not waiting for Apostle Alan to get us okay. We already come to church ready. We're ready to get our marching orders. What must we do right here? We are already filled with the Spirit. We're not coming to get a shot to feel better. We are coming to contribute. So as an army, we can go out and change Somerset West and change Cape Town and change Hout Bay and all these places, change them. Why? Because we are an army running together. So now, human faith is based on experience. If that doesn't work, you know, if you jump into an aeroplane and if it doesn't crash, you get where you're going. I mean, it's human faith. Everybody can do that. But the God kind of faith is going to require a people that is going to wait on the Lord. Now, I want to go quickly to a scripture here because of my time. John 5:1-5 in the KJV. After that, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the sheep market pool, which called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. These guys were waiting for the moving of water. For an angel went down at a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after, somebody say after. After the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole from the disease. So when the water was troubled, they were made whole. Now watch this. Anybody who went into that water 5 seconds before it was swelled and jumped in, same water, same place, same well, same area. If they jumped into that same water, if without the water being troubled, that same water would not get them well. But when the water is troubled or stirred, when they jumped into that same water, same place, same area, when they jumped into that water, watch this, that person got healed. The word in the Bible and the word you confess is that well. That well is there waiting until that well is troubled in your heart. You do not have the faith to jump in and get that thing, even though you've got the water inside of you. So the water, which is the word, so when I'm confessing, I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm keeping my well full the whole time. Why? Ready for the quickening and for the troubling of that water by the Holy Ghost. So when it's troubled, I know that's my house, that's my car, that's my business. I know what I'm talking about. In December, we were not even thinking of any business. You know, I started business, although I didn't even want a business. I was not even thinking of it. So one guy, a friend of mine, old white guy, is about 80. He's been running his business for 40 years, almost 40 years. Came to me, it's a huge business in Durban. He says to me, I want to sell this business. Please help me. So, you know, I tried to phone all the people that I could get, my contacts, call them, nothing. We tried everywhere. In January, while I was sitting somewhere, I think it was outside my house, there somewhere, sitting on a pool lounger, just relaxed, I heard the word said, why are you selling a business that I'm giving to you? Now, that business is millions. So the thing is this, you need millions to buy it. I didn't have the money to buy that type of business. I mean, I'm busy building the ministry. I want to show you the importance of Rhema versus just running for something. It welled up, you see? So I'm sitting there. And the Rhema came. You've been trying to sell something that I've already given to you. Other companies had failed. I'm talking about huge bus companies. They tried, they come up with the deposits. They're going to come up with the deposits because the deposit was a lot of money, it was in the millions. So I'm going to come up with that. The Lord said, it's yours. So I went to the Rhema. I'm just following what I had. So I found this guy and I said to him, man, maybe I should buy this business. You know, I was testing. So maybe I must, you know, just throw. Then he says, yeah, you know, what do you want? Now, you know me, I am. The Bible says that, you know, we are all Jews now. Because we are, you know, so I negotiate, I do Jewish negotiating. So I told him a price, and he says, hey, well, you know, it's a bit, but it was still a lot. He said, you know, it's a bit low. I said, well, I mean, that's a price I'm willing to give. That's what, you know, if I buy the business. He's retired, he wants to go straight. He's made a lot of money. He wants to leave. Anyway, because the Lord told me, to cut a long story short, by the 1st of Feb, it was around about the middle of January, by the 1st of Feb, we had bought the business cash and we had the bank accounts in our name full. There's no square letter, no bank, nothing. Just a straight cut deal. And it's a franchise for KZN, for Swaziland, for Lesotho. And we took over the territory for God. Why? I had a rhema, one word. I didn't have to have 100 scriptures. Just one stead word was enough to go and apprehend. All I'm saying is, sometimes, you know, we've got 1,000 scriptures and we're reading one after the other and we run and it doesn't happen. The thing is, this scripture is so important. But you have to wait for, you are listening with the inner ear so that it's activated within you so that you can go and apprehend the business. There are people in here that struggle to pay rent this month. You should be a landlord. I'm telling you, you should be a landlord. All of it is in your hearing. All these buildings you must own, it's all in your hearing. You can go and take over when you know how to hear, but you have to use the same method that Jesus used. I do nothing without, you know, nothing. You can do nothing. Now let's go to John. You know, I didn't give the guys a bit, but I feel impressed to go. If you go to the Amplified, the contemporary one, Amplified, John 5, 31. John 5. This is so, so important. Before I used to just run with things. So when I couldn't raise that guy from the dead, I learned a good lesson. Then when we wanted to buy the church building we currently have, which is small, there were three pastors, Pastor Wellington, Pastor X, and Pastor Y. I won't mention their name. All these three pastors wanted the same building. Now we own all of them. Everybody had a scripture. Everybody was praying in tongues. Everybody was confessing the same scripture for the one building. All of them pastors. Now, if one was a drug dealer and one was a gangster, we would say, hey, God chose you because you're a pastor. But the three pastors, frachis, three pastors, all of them, they all are trying. And as you know that the banks don't finance the church, so all of them are trying, all of them are believing God, all of them are rebuking demons, and devils ran that time on that. They were being rebuked. Now, which person does God give this building to? The one that smiles the most? Or the one that kisses babies after church? You know, the thing is, you know, you kiss babies and you are the nice one rubbing hands. Who does he give that building to? Three pastors, all praying, all seeking God. Who does he give the building to? So God stands in heaven with Jesus and you know, he says, okay, dude, sit here, let's do this thing. Let's this. Pastor Wellington, yeah? Pinky, pinky, ponky, father had a donkey. Donkey died, father cried. Oh, it's going on. This guy hasn't prayed enough. Let's give you. No. The one who bought the building is the one who got stirred and troubled from the inside. He had rhema and he had a witness. The one with the witness took the building. There was nothing wrong with the two guys, but the one with the witness is the one who had the faith for it. So what's important? Spending time with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing more important than that in your life. Nothing. That's why this meeting this week, shut everything out. Come to the meeting. It's so key. So I spend more time now. You know, when I was younger, you know, I'm still there, but I'm getting up there. When I was younger, I spent so much time now waiting on God than trying to make things happen. And I've seen in my waiting, I produce babies in my waiting. Because I'm intimate. But when I'm running out there, because babies are not made in public places. You know, under 18, in public places, you can't make a baby. It's hard. It can happen, but it's not easy. Real babies are made in an intimate zone. I want to encourage everybody sitting here today that this is not just another meeting. My aim was not getting people to stand in the meeting. My aim is getting you to stand after the meeting. So that when you get to Monday, Tuesday, when the real troubles of life come, when rent needs to be paid, and the car installment comes, and the building needs to be bought, you've got a knowledge that is key. And that knowledge, you cannot get it just by being given to it. You're going to have to make time to spend time with the Lord and spend time with the Holy Spirit and make the Holy Ghost the greatest person in your life. When last you talk to him? You know, we wake up in the morning, we are gone. Busy with whatever. It's conference, we are gone. It's so critical that in the joy of everything, we spend time hearing from him. I'm going to the meeting, Lord, but as I go to that meeting, Holy Spirit, there's a word for me there. You are going to give me something that I need for this situation. I'm not just going like anybody else. You're going to quicken it like the woman with the issue of blood. When you go hold that garment at that meeting, the healing happens. Why? Because you came prepared. And this is Wellington Tlamini, and I approve this message. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this session of Come Celebrate. We hope you enjoyed.